Everybody, I have the privilege and the honor, the great blessing at this point of preaching the Word of God on one of my favorite subjects. And you'll be able to tell that more as we get into the lesson because I get excited about this subject. It's very near and dear to me, and I think it will be to you as well. I just want to thank you, especially our visitors and our guests, for being here and studying the Word of God with me this hour. Thank you so much. And I would appreciate it if you let me know what you thought about the Word. Dempsey Collins is insignificant. Jesus Christ, His Word is everything. And so if you study with me and looking into the Word of God, the great news of Jesus Christ, you see it to be true, let's join hands and let's do it together. That's what it's all about. Well, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, let's start there. Genesis 18 and verse 19. We have God saying something about His servant Abraham. God says in Genesis 18, 19, I've known him that he will teach my commandments to his children and his household, and teach them my ways. God says, I've known him that he will teach the commands to his children and household and my ways. Now, here's my question to you, brothers, especially to the brothers in the Lord. Could God say the same about you as a spiritual leader of your household? We talked a great deal about the wives and the mothers last week and the role God has for them in the home. I want to focus our attention on the husbands and the fathers this morning. And so I began with this question. Could God say the same about you, brothers, as a spiritual leader, as a steward of your home, entrusted with these precious children? That I know you, that you will keep my commands and you'll teach them to your children and your household after you. You know, as fathers, we're constantly concerned about the welfare of our children, especially spiritually. And we pray constantly for our children, grandchildren, that they'll always have good influences in their life. But they only have one dad. One dad. And we have a very small, limited period of time, really, to get across, to cultivate within their precious minds a love for the Lord, a true knowledge of God as He really reveals Himself here. And understanding the Lord as He truly reveals Himself in the Word, helping them to know His love, the wonders of His mercy, His grace, His justice, so that they will want to serve Him and please Him in all things also. That is our greatest goal, is it not? And brothers, in spite of what our society and our culture is doing right now, we need to understand that fathers are a vital, integral part of that home unit. That's what God's Word says. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. As the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives to their husbands in everything. I want us to see the husbands this, the husbands that. Yes, the wife, the mother, but I want to focus especially on the husband. The husband has a vital, integral part in the home. And I know there are a lot of dads these days that are just abandoning the home, neglecting the home. They're abdicating, leaving the home for whatever reason. They'll have to give an account to God someday. Because here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is affirming something God said thousands of years earlier in the book of Genesis, that the father has a vital role in the home. He is the spiritual leader of his home. Mothers and dads both have a responsibility in that area, but the dad has primary responsibility to lead his children, his home, in the way they should go. Especially the dads. This is not just cultural. This is not just something that's peculiar to a particular time period or a covenant. This is not just something that applies to Abraham and Moses and people way back there. This applies in every Bible age, in every time period. It's intended to be timeless. God's teachings concerning the home. It's not just a cultural thing. And if you look at chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, you see how the role of the father is very important to God. And dads, we need to fulfill this great responsibility given to us to nurture, to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. No one is greater, wiser, more powerful. And yet, what kind of Lord, what kind of ruler is He over His realm? Merciful, gracious, loving, just. You can't do any better than Jesus. And dads, Jesus is our standard. That's a tall order. And we're constantly striving to imitate that order. But that is the standard nonetheless. And so, as leaders of our household, let's be as Jesus. Merciful, gracious, kind, and loving. Always putting their interests before our own. Always thinking of them before ourselves. And of course, and I know this is true, you'd be willing to sacrifice yourself for your family. I know that's true. That's what Jesus did. He gave Himself for us. He died for us. That's how much He loved us. The dad here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 is given this great responsibility, this stewardship to nurture his children. And that is a word that means to tenderly nourish, tenderly care for. Same word used of the husband toward the wife. Same word. Nourish, tenderly care for, provide for it in every way. It is an umbrella term, and it includes whatever's needed physically, whatever's needed mentally, whatever's needed spiritually. Then we do the best we can to provide that, especially spiritually. And then Paul subdivides that into two categories. He says, in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. So, nurture them in the discipline. Whatever is needed physically, mentally, spiritually, in the discipline. And so, I want to provide opportunities as a dad, as a father, for my kids physically, mentally, but especially spiritually. I'll be instructing. Most of the instruction will be positive, developmental. It will be preventive, preventing wrong. Helping them to develop into the kind of person that they can be. Reach whatever full potential they can. Sometimes there's a breakdown in that and there has to be corrective discipline. But the vast majority of our discipline will be instructive. It will be developmental, positive. And then the corrective will be effective. You know, because you have so much of the other. And so much of the other in a positive, good relationship. So, we have nurture, whatever's needed in the discipline, especially spiritual discipline. and admonition, which simply means bring to their mind. Bring to their mind. Remind them. Encourage them. Reinforce some behavior. Sometimes it's simply a matter of encouraging. So we have this wonderful relationship with our children of nurturing and disciplining them in the Lord, all according to His will and to His glory. And next to saving our soul, and I only say that because how in the world are we going to save them and tell them about the grace of God and the wonders of His mercy if we don't know it, right? And so save your soul so that you can share that with them and also bring them to the Lord, hopefully. And next to the saving of our soul, that is our most important responsibility. Food, clothing, shelter, education, recreation, all these things are needful. And many other things. But they are a distant second cousin to the spiritual welfare of our family. Brothers, if we do not attain to all the physical, mental, and social goals that we may want for our family, but make it our priority, our focus to provide plenty of spiritual nurturing, spiritual leadership. In God's eyes, Ephesians 6:4, you are a true success. And you're faithful stewards of the precious souls that He has entrusted to your care. So what does it take to be that faithful steward of spiritual leadership in the home? Well, of course, many things. Many, many things, but I believe it comes down to three main things. And if these three things are indelibly, if they're written all over your heart and your life, then you'll be a true success according to God's plan for the fathers. And these three things are these. Number one, our attitude toward the Lord. Our attitude toward the Lord. Number two, our relationship with the Lord. And number three, our example in the Lord. Our successful leadership in every aspect of the home depends on those three things especially. Now let's look at each one of them briefly. First of all, our attitude toward the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 4 with me, please. 1 John chapter 4. And there are many passages that help to show the importance of attitude toward God and everyone. But this one, I think, is the easiest to explain. At least for me, it is. And I know Brother Bob would probably agree, having just taught this book recently, and all that God has to say about His love toward us. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Starting there, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, 1 John 4, verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the appeasement. His wrath was satisfied for our sins through Jesus. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. Our attitude toward God. Notice that our love for one another and all men is in direct response to God's love for us. The point is, God's love should affect you. God's love should change you. It should motivate you in every aspect of your life. We love, verse 19, because He first loved us. Well, John, how much did God love us? He gave His only Son to die for you, for your sons and your daughters. He gave His Son. That's how much He loved you. In verse 16, we've come to know and believe the love of God that he has for us. So, what is the right response to such love? We love because he first loved us. God's purpose is that his love will flow through us, we'll understand it, in every facet of our life, every relationship, every thought, every action, and especially in our families, toward our wife and toward our children. God's love will be the guiding principle of our lives. And of course, out into the sea of humanity as well. And we think about what John is saying here, and the point he's making is this: it's not just on occasion that this will be true, but in your words, in your actions, in your thoughts, it's going to change you. It is life changing. And so, if God is first in your heart, then he'll be first in your home. Everything will center around pleasing the Lord and constantly looking for opportunities to talk about him. And you know what? This is very, very important. As a result of that, you will create within your home a spiritual atmosphere where God's word thrives and that word freely grows in the hearts of your children. That's what you want. You want that kind of incubator in your home. Good spiritual leadership depends on our attitude toward the Lord. Secondly, good spiritual leadership depends on our relationship with the Lord. You think about what Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 28 to the Ephesian elders. He calls the Ephesian elders to him and he says, you know, you need to be on guard for the brethren. Some terrible times are coming. Men are going to start falling away from the faith. And all of that happened, just as he said. But before he said all that, he said, brothers, he said, you need to be on guard for yourselves. You need to clean up your own house. You need to make sure you're spiritually right and you're strong in the Lord. Be on guard for yourselves and the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And so Paul said, first of all, brothers, make sure you're right with God. You know the Lord and you're walking in the Lord. You can't share the love and conviction of God if you don't have it. Sheep will follow the shepherds, you know, wherever the shepherds may go. If the shepherds are wrong today, it won't be long before the sheep are as wrong as they. And so we need to first get our own house in order. Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches the same principle of parents, grandparents, first getting themselves right with the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart." God is talking to the parents here, grandparents, the adults. And he's saying, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're going to teach your children, your grandchildren, and other Israelites, if you're going to be effective, you must know the love of God in your own heart. And then in verse 6 he says, these words shall be in your heart. Brothers, we can't share what we don't have. We can't teach what we don't know. We can't speak of the glories of God and the wonders of his grace if we've never known it or we've turned from it. The best gift we can give to our children is to love God with all your heart. Second to that, brothers, second to that, love your wives as God teaches you to love your wives. The second best gift you can give to them is show them what marriage is supposed to look like, because that's going to be the most influential person in their life someday, the person they marry. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, and you will help them tremendously. giving them, and they are truly, truly gifts. And so, are you in the right relationship with the Lord? Is it well? We sing, it is well. Is it well? As long as that heart is still beating, your breath is still coming, it can be anytime you're ready. Third, a good spiritual leader is a good example. Looking back at chapter 6 of Deuteronomy here, verse 7 through 9, please. Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And shall bind them as a sign on your hand, frontals on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Children need to see the Word of God lived out in order for it to become reality. They need to see the balance between teaching and doing. In verse 7, Moses said, teach these things diligently. One translation says, impress them deeply with these words. The Hebrew, we're told, is a single verb which literally means to say something twice. And it's related to the number two. The point is this, Mom and Dad, for us to keep repeating the message day after day, situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance. This is how God's Word will eventually be integrated into their hearts and into their lives. Use every occasion you can. Help make God's Word real to them as it truly is. Real people, real time, real events, real places, and for all time and for all generations. Our goal is to not simply teach the story of David and Goliath. It's a marvelous story, but the goal, the purpose of the story is to say, so, young man, how are you handling the Goliaths of your life? Everybody has one. Maybe several. David trusted in the Lord with all his heart. And when he trusted in the Lord with all his heart, that Goliath wasn't big at all. God is so much bigger. And when you face your Goliath, yeah, on the surface, looks pretty big. It's a major problem. But God is so much bigger. Trust in the Lord, like David did. The point is not to simply teach. We must teach these stories. We must teach them. They're the Word of God. They're true. They're inspired. They really happen. But what's the point of that? The point is, everybody has a den of lions. Not literally, but we all face fiery trials. Fiery furnaces in life. Will we trust in the Lord, or will we cave in to the trials? Will we ask our friends what they're going to do when this unlawful thing is being offered? Or will we, like Daniel, say, I'm making up my mind, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what my friends do. This is right, and that's what I'm going to do. The point is not just to teach the story about a good Samaritan and how he sacrificed time and part of his life to help a total stranger. The point of the story is, what kind of neighbor are we, son? What kind of neighbor are we, young lady? When we, here's a brother or sister in the hospital, we're just driving on by, like that priest and Levite. Here's someone in need. We know they live right there in that house right there. We just keep driving on by. What kind of neighbor are we to do that? The point is to relate it to life. How does it relate to you, son? How does it relate to you, my precious daughter? God's Word has got to be real in their lives. That's so important. To bind it on the hand and the frontals, I don't think God literally meant for Israel to do that. There are a number of Orthodox Jews you'll see doing that, they're called phylacteries, boxes with the Word of God in those boxes on their forehead and on their arms. I don't think that was God's point. I think the point is, it shall be in your mind constantly. It shall be before you constantly, as if on your hands and everything you do. On your doorpost, it's in your home. My word is to be before you at all times. Children need to see the word of God lived out. They need to see you studying the word of God and then living the word of God. They need to see you praying and then living your prayers. Help the sick, Lord. Let's go see the sick now. They need to hear thanksgiving and they need to see thanksgiving. They need to see you trusting God and facing the furnaces of life and the lion's dens and the Goliaths. And when we say to them, son, whatever is honorable and pure and good and holy, you pursue those kind of things. And the God of peace will be with you. And then make sure, mom and dad, that's what you see on TV. Those are the kind of things you look at on the computer screen. And the kind of music you listen to. What's pure and honorable and good and holy. That's what they need to be seeing in your life. In Colossians chapter 1, I think the Apostle Paul gives us a good summary of this point in verse 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Is there a reason for that, Paul? Yes, verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Learning and doing. There has to be that balance, mom and dad. The primary goal of Bible learning is to know the Lord and please the Lord. Help others to know the Lord and please the Lord. Apply it and relate it to everyday life, because it does. I like these words, always have. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I don't dare go astray for fear he might go the self-same way. I cannot escape his little eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, I'm going to be like him, that little chap that follows me. He thinks I'm good and fine. He believes in every word of mine. The bad in me he must not see. My life to him must an example be. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be that little chap that follows after me. The gift of godly example is the gift that keeps on giving, even after they're long gone. My mother's been gone now for 5 years. I would argue with her sometimes, but I could never argue with her example. It was rock solid. That's the kind of thing I want to leave with my children, is that kind of example that's solid. They know Dad's not going to go way off here or way off over there. He's going to trust in the Lord until he draws his last breath. That's what I want them to remember. And so, our attitude toward the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, and our example in the Lord. You have those three things. Then you're on your way to being a successful steward of this very important responsibility God has entrusted to you. But here's the thing. Mom and Dad, no matter how good we parent our children, and as Hebrews 12 says, we can only do the best we can do. Father's discipline has seemed best. And I love the fact that he said that. What we can do is raise the bar of probability as high as possible and make it as likely as possible that our sons and our daughters will know the Lord and give their hearts and lives to the Lord. That's the best we can do. But ultimately, the decision is up to them. We want to make it as likely as possible, but it's still their decision. And so now we turn the table, if we may, young man and young lady, to you. Your mom and your dad hopefully have led you in that right path. And even if they haven't, it's still the choice you need to make. But if you were blessed with a godly mom and a godly dad, thank God for that every day. You're extremely blessed. Now the decision is yours. What are you going to do with that teaching? You would make their life a life of rejoicing if you'd give your life to the Lord. It would be a life of rejoicing. But regardless of what they think, the most important person you want to please is the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. That's why He created us. That's why we're here. We get distracted away from that purpose, but God's Word draws us back. Here's your purpose. Here's why I created you. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to know me. Will you give your life to the Lord? And knowing the kind of Father we serve is a loving, merciful, gracious Father, you'll have the best life you can possibly have. He will direct you in paths that are right and good and just. And then when you have your own home someday, Lord willing, you can be the kind of dad, the kind of husband, the kind of father He wants you to be, hopefully you want to be, and the kind of mother and wife. But you've got to do it God's way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your paths straight. Whatever those paths may be and wherever they lead, He'll make them straight. Trust in the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Come to Jesus this very day. Will you this hour as we're led in the song, please? Stand as we sing, please.